This is the Servers Radio Network. Welcome to this edition of A Server's Journey with Rocky DeStefano and Mike Hogue. The foundation of the show is everybody's leading something or someone, and thus the name of the program is A Server's Journey.
And I want to thank Mike for being here. I think it's Mike Hodes. It sounded like you said hogs. Hog. But it was Mike Hodes.
Like Rhodes, but there's no R. No,
I'm just bothering Larry because Larry never messes up, and I do all the time. But hey, guys, I want to thank Mike for being here on this episode, and I want to thank everybody listening. And as always, we talk about, you know, we're not experts. We're just simply walking this journey together. And we talk about it all the time. Everybody leads something or someone, whether it's a softball team or whether it's a major corporation. And we're all on the same path, and we're going to keep coming and do this server's journey together. So, Mike, thank you for being here.
You're welcome, Rocky. It's my pleasure.
I like that. So. Larry, talk about our wonderful website.
We've partnered with ACS Creative in developing our website. When it comes to creating a website, it pays to go to the pros. That's why we have gone to ACS Creative. They do brochures, logos, direct mail, ad campaigns, and websites. They don't play games with your money. And you can contact ACS Creative on the internet at ACS Creative.
That, you know, that was really sharp, Larry. I gotta say,
did that without moving my mouth, right?
I know. Yeah. You know, you kind of caught me off guard. Yeah. I was like, Larry's a ventriloquist now.
Very good. Yes.
Mike, speaking of that, we actually got a comment. You know, I've been doing this for like 100 and some episodes, and I've gotten like 5 comments, but Mike already got his first. So, Mike,
actually, it's my second one.
Oh, look at the scene. Mike is catching up.
So. Sure. Well, my goal obviously is to be useful. This isn't really about me.
That's right.
It's not. It's I just want to be useful. So,
someone shared on the internet.
They did, and I'm reading it right now. It says, Mike Hodes is truly someone who honors God in all that he does. Listening to his perspective on leadership was such a treat. Rocky made incredible points as well. One of my favorite being, when people feel valued, they value what they do. Hmm. See, so
right. Yeah. You're getting so I got a little bit of pub too there. So, yeah.
And then they go on to say, looking forward to more toolbox takeaways in part two.
And that's perfect segue right there.
Because we're on part 4.
Yeah, so let's kind of just quickly recap. So we kind of talked a lot about the theoretical why your why is important. And then we shared an episode where we actually went through and talked about companies that had kind of won us over because their why was so compelling. And then last episode, Mike and I and Larry talked a lot about the more practical, okay, why does this work? Why does being a servant leader work? And honestly, I think it's going to become one of my favorite episodes because I just think there's a lot of wisdom there. And a lot of it is really being added to Mike. So from Mike, so I really do appreciate you coming. But today we're going to talk more about, so this next several weeks, maybe even going as many as 13.
Oh my goodness.
They're going to be about, okay, if you're somebody now and you aspire to be a servant leader, but you're not sure if you are, or you're not sure if you're as effective as you could be, or if you know you're just a class A jerk, and that's okay because all of us were at one point, we're going to start talking about the how. Because here's one thing we know, and Mike and I talk about this all the time. You have resources in life, one of which is your time, and you can't make more of it. And sometimes you can't go back and undo things you've done. You can make more money, you can do other things, but you really are, you only have the time you have. So we talked a little bit about this last time, but this episode is going to be about the first step if you aspire to be a servant leader is you have to look at your heart. And Mike, you spoke a lot about that. And I know that was kind of your great awakening was you began to look and say, holy gosh, I don't know that I'm a great guy.
Rocky, I can guarantee you when I looked at my heart, I was mortified. In fact, if you listen to parts 1 and 2 of my story, I was so not pleased that I decided to you know, that I would end it,
that's
commit
right.
suicide. So my heart was not
right,
not nice at all. It was
well, and so
sewage.
So,
sure. Yep.
You definitely went through a struggle, but what I admire about you is you knew that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But what I've noticed about some of the leaders that I've worked for that maybe I would consider to be not the best is they're not aware. And so today what we're going to talk about is four things, and really they're kind of, you know, if this is you, you need to check your heart here, okay? Because you're probably selfish and you're probably somebody who other people should not work for and they should run away from.
Right. Well, and I think, you know, my speech used to be, well, I started this and I, you know, I worked half days and
right.
I haven't had a vacation in, you know, so many years and I drove 57,000 miles and I. But I got to tell you, at the end of the day, I knew I was wrong. Even yes. though I wouldn't admit it, I was wrong. And most people, if you really drill down to your heart, they know. They know, you know.
It's, so in case you don't know, we're going to talk about
right.
four things.
Okay.
So the first one is, if you're a leader, if you're leading something and you rarely communicate, it's a red flag.
Big red flag. Yeah. You bet.
And Mike, you talked about it in the last episode. You have to be able to personally avail yourself. And you said something about putting your agenda in the desk. Talk a little bit about what you meant by that.
Well, I think, you know, when it's all about me, then you're manipulating people, you're doing passive-aggressive things, because it's really about me. But when you go, wait a minute, what can I do to be additive to these people? How can I help them? It becomes about them,
right?
About the team. And so put your agenda away.
Yeah.
And grow your team.
That's right.
Your agenda will eventually happen for
yes.
you. But it's kind of like, I always love this one. You buy a fruit tree, a really good one. You spend a lot of money. And you plant it in the ground, put a little water on it, and you leave. You come back a little while later, where's the fruit? It's all, you know, shriveled up, but no fruit. Or it's not much fruit. Conversely, you take a tree and you water it, and you keep the bugs off it, and you fertilize it, and you trim it, and you love it. What happens?
Yeah.
It's a
pretty bumper crop.
Yeah, man. And that there it is.
Yeah, Truett Cathy used to say, if you help enough people in life get what they want, eventually you get what you want.
Sure.
But here's one thing I know. Open and transparent communication is simply the foundation on which any great management rests. And when a company or one, a leader lacks that foundation of being able to communicate, the whole structure is on shaky ground. I've never met a good manager who wasn't also a good communicator. And a good communicator doesn't mean that he can get up and, you know, write the speech for our president, you know, State of the Union. A good communicator is somebody who's honest and transparent and who talks to their team and finds out what motivates them and what they're going through. If you don't interact regularly with your troops, then you really aren't well suited for the role of leader. I just hate to say it.
No, it's true. And, you know, the monthly chalk talk, you know, going through your dashboard, the metrics of your business. You don't have to tell them everything, but give people a general sense of,
That's right.
We do well? Are we doing well?
That's
How
right.
are we doing? What's going on?
Yeah.
And, you know, I've had this conversation with many people, and they go, well, yeah, but, you know, when we're doing well and I share that, then everybody wants a raise.
Yeah.
You've got to give it some time and get some trust so they understand it's not about, I need a raise today. It's,
right.
I'm on board,
yeah.
And this, it's a speedometer.
Well, and so. Here's the issue, too. If you rarely communicate with your team, then probably the only time you are communicating is when they're doing something wrong.
Right.
And so the only Correct. Communication they get yeah. from their leader is a negative.
Well, keep in mind, three things happen. If you don't, first, good positive communication is what people want. But the next thing they want is negative communication versus no communication.
Yes.
And I can tell you this. I used to be run silent, run deep. And if you don't communicate, people fill in that vacuum
yeah.
with negative.
Yeah. Just crap.
Unhealthy stuff. They yep. fabricate stuff.
Now, you say put your agenda in the drawer, get it away. I'm talking, you guys are talking about being a CEO. You guys are talking about being the head honcho. I'm talking about the guy that's running the cash register.
Yeah.
What's his agenda at that point? How can he be a leader at that point?
Well, you know, I think a cashier, their agenda is to take the order of the customer and get them out as fast as they possibly can. I mean, that, you know, if you talk about just typical business, that's what they would say. Hey, I'm here. My role is to get your order and get you out because there's another customer right behind you. But when they take their agenda and put it in the drawer, then they're going to notice, oh my gosh, you're a 49ers fan? So am I. Oh, I can't believe that game last week. They killed the Vikings. When they put their agenda aside, then they begin to openly communicate with the customer because they don't see him as just, you know, a commodity. They see him as an actual human being, which is what we're talking about.
Well, you know, to quote Chick-fil-A, everybody has a story.
That's right.
And I can remember watching Jenny, my daughter, at your store, and people were in line on for breakfast, and somebody came over and opened another cash register.
And they wouldn't go to them.
And they wouldn't. They said, oh, no, we're here for Jenny. Yes. And she'd say, oh, hey, I like your hairdo. Hey, how'd the job interview go? How are you feeling? I know you had surgery.
Yeah.
And it wasn't about the food, though. No. It was the food.
No, I mean, the food is good, but it's so rarely about the food.
Yeah. You know? I just laughed because she worked the crowd. Great because she cared. And she used to say to me, oh, Dad, I can't wait to go in today. I want to find out how so-and-so did in their job interview.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay, a second thing. So this is you. You're a bad boss, and you might need to check your heart. If you are somebody who refuses to take responsibility, or if you've ever thought, I'm surrounded by idiots, you might have to check your heart, right? Because a good manager will take responsibility for their actions. And there's that old adage, Mike, that says, give credit and take responsibility. So if you're unwilling to do that, you probably or might have an issue with your heart.
Absolutely true. I can tell you that when we would have a great month, and it wasn't just in the electronics world, it was making potting soil. It was the operators, the sales guy. And when we'd have a bad month, I'd be going, yep, yeah. And I'd basically take responsibility for it.
Right. Even if it necessarily wasn't your fault.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So when it's good, you share the praise, you share the credit. And when it's bad, you take the blame.
Yeah, I find myself a lot of times I'll say, man, maybe I wasn't clear enough, even though I knew I was. The reality is, what do I gain by being negative with the team? It's just easier sometimes to show them you're willing to admit, hey, maybe I had a role in this. Let's dust ourselves off and catch ourselves.
Well, I think, too, that even when you take the hit and they know it's not all you, and they know it's kind of them too. But when you take the hit, it speaks volumes to them saying, well, wow, I think it this also, guy cares. He cares.
That's right. And, well, and I think it also, Mike, it allows them to let others off the hook too. Because there's somebody probably letting them down or maybe somebody below them, in not in status, but maybe the secretary that made a mistake. But it allows them to give her or him a break. Because they've been given a break.
It's called grace.
Yeah. And, you know, Chick-fil-A, True Kathy was a wonderful example, but there was another gentleman named Jimmy Collins, and I remember him telling me, Rocky, at Chick-fil-A, we are going to always err on the side of grace and mercy. And that just struck with me because I don't know that, definitely growing up, my father was a great man, but he didn't err on the side of grace and mercy. It was his house. So it was a newer concept to me. So
sure.
Yep. Okay. So we've got those two, right? So if you're somebody who doesn't communicate and somebody who won't take responsibility, check your heart. The third thing I would say is, and this may be a little bit harsh, but you have to watch our... Are you somebody who has integrity as a leader? Because, you know, weak and unprincipled management is invariably less concerned with doing the right thing for an organization. And generally speaking, they're more concerned about protecting their own selves, right? So if you find yourself less concerned about others, less concerned about doing the right thing, and more concerned about you, you need to check your heart.
Well, I think a great case in point is, you know, when a company or a organization is not doing well, you know, are the key leaders, are they doing the right things to free up, you know, the money so the people can still, you know, provide for their families.
Absolutely.
And I've been invited into some organizations, and the first thing I want to do is I want to look at the P&L.
Yeah.
And I can remember one situation where, you know, the leaders, you know, were making good money, and they all took a 10% pay cut, and they expected all the employees to take a 10% pay cut. Well, 10% of $100,000
is much different than
10% of $30,000. Yeah. That sinks your ship.
Yeah.
And so I'm always amazed how the leaders will come and, you know, well, we took one too.
Right.
I think of Lee Iacocca, who turned Chrysler around. When he went to Congress, he met with his team and he said, okay, guys, we're in trouble. Can everybody work for a dollar a year? Then he went to see Congress and he says, hey, Congressman, we're all working for a dollar a year. Can you loan us some money and help bail out Chrysler? And by the way, we get this new thing called a K-car.
Right.
And guess what? He turned it around.
Yep. Yep. It's a pretty great story.
Yeah.
So, Mike, this is the issue, because there's a lot of studies out there, and studies show that there's a certain type of person that actually tend to be overly represented in management already. And that type of person is a narcissist. Because narcissists tend to do better actually in interviews than somebody who isn't. So, and listen, we can go on and on about that and why that is in American society, but it's true. And the problem with narcissists are they're normally characterized by arrogant behavior, a very high opinion of themselves, and even worse, an inability to be empathetic for others. So it's kind of a recipe for disaster. So just understand that if you're in leadership, even if you never meant to be, you might have narcissistic tendencies that you have to really, really manage around.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I'm looking at you, and people can't see the look I'm giving you, but boy, it's tough when you're working with somebody that's a narcissist.
That's right.
Because, you know, I always think about the Bible when they say, hey, take the, you know, the 2x4 out of your eye before you.
Yeah.
But boy, it is just brutal. And a lot of times someone that's a narcissist will have results,
right,
but it is a tremendous strain to do it. And, you know, you can kill a fly with a swat of a hand or a hand grenade.
Right.
But
it gets a job done either way, but one's a whole lot messier.
It is. And, you know, at the end of the day, why are we here? You know? And
yeah. Well, we talk about that because, you know, when we ask you to check your heart and we're reminding you that time is finite, we're reminding you, at least in our belief system, you're going to be held accountable for the stuff and how you treated the resources God gave you. And resources are people too.
Sure.
And so, you know, it's going to, I cannot go back with some people and some of the things I've said and some of the destructive things I've done. I can't make them all right. I need to try if I can, but we're warning you now, because if this is you, you need to check your heart and start again, start fresh.
Well, do the next right thing.
And that's right.
If I can change, anybody can change. And I can tell you that we did an exercise years ago called Fishbowl, and all the people, the leaders, were in the room, and the conversation was, you know, are there any lines of tension between you and Mike? And if there is, what are they? And so, but I couldn't talk. I was not allowed to talk.
You had to listen.
I had to listen and use the Indian talking stick principle. But anyway, and I began to hear these things, and boy, I was mad, and I took good notes, and it was humbling to hear these comments. And some of them were valid, some of them not so much, but it was very helpful, and it began in me a process of change.
Well, I think when even the comments that weren't valid, they had validity in that people felt that way about you or felt that way about me. When somebody says something derogatory toward me, it's because I haven't built trust. Because my friends don't say, you know, you're a I mean, they don't. They might say, hey, come on, ease up, rock, and you be a little bit. But they're just not going to be that aggressive. So when somebody is aggressive that way towards you, it's because you maybe need to check your heart.
Sure. Well, yeah. Honor, dignity, and respect. Are you emanating that to people? And if you don't respect them and you don't value them, you don't honor them, you don't show honor, dignity, and respect.
Yep.
And they kick you to the curb. That's they right. just do. Yep.
All right. And then the last thing that I would say is if you're somebody who is more concerned with your career and climbing the ladder for your success than for others, you might need to check your heart. And, you know, that goes without saying. Basically, this is not about you. It just isn't. And the more you're able to build your team and see growth in them and help them achieve some of their dreams, you said it, Mike, when you help others.
But you're a manager. You don't want to lose these people.
Yes. Yes. We've talked about that before. I hope that by creating an environment that is uplifting and that they know they're part of something bigger than themselves and they're coming to work and they're feeling valued and having fun, I won't lose everybody because a lot of them will want to be around. They want to stick. And the ones I do lose, I'm okay with if it's to something better or something that's better for them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sure.
Because normally the people that so we did an interview and this is not to toot my own horn. In fact, I was very humbled when I heard this, but I interviewed a young lady who really sharp, I was impressed almost immediately with her. But I knew she was probably too qualified for the position she was applying for. And so I said to her, I said, why do you want to work with Chick-fil-A? And what she said is, I've talked to a lot of people and all of them say, I need to work for you, not for Chick-fil-A. And that they've never felt more valued than they have working for me. Now, I know I screw up every single day, and I know that's not a true statement, and I know that people, and Mike, you've talked about this before, I was able to build enough emotional welfare in their bank to where when I screwed up, and I did, they don't remember those things. So it was very honoring, but what I told her is I said, you know, that's a wonderful thing, and I thank you so much for telling me that. But we need to make sure that you're in the right place, you know. But anyways, that made me feel so good because I do go throughout most of my day wondering, am I more concerned about me than I am concerned about others?
You
know?
Sure.
And so it was good to hear that, you know.
Well, you know, when you put your customer first, which, you know, in manufacturing and stuff, you know, there obviously is an end customer, but my customers, when I was in operations running a company, my customers were the people
that's right.
making the product, yeah. answering the phones, paying the bills. Those were my customers. And so the little tape that played in my head was, how can I be additive? How can I right. make their job better, easier?
Yes.
You know, and oh, by the way, the end customer, you know, it showed.
Yeah. Well, and I think that that's right, Mike, because we've always talked about that. The best managers focus on the needs of others. And by doing that, they tend to get the best work out of them.
Sure.
You know, and they don't get the best. They don't do it to get the best work out of them. They do it because it's the right thing. It's just the applause is people actually work harder.
Sure.
You know?
Well, and you can look all over the country, all over the world and see wonderful organizations. Yeah. And if you really drill down, you'll have different styles, but right. at the end of the day, you get to the same place. It's, you know, caring about people.
Wonderful organizations are wonderful organizations because they have a powerful why that motivates them, and they have leaders that have integrity and care.
Sure.
I'm convinced. Now, there is other that are what the world would consider to be great companies, and you can tell immediately that it's not. It's a dictatorship. And they might work for a while, but they're not going to have staying power. I just don't believe that.
Right. So. Well, in Jim Collins' Good to Great book, if you read that, it's pretty old. And a lot of those great companies that he talks about aren't great anymore.
That's right. Yeah. Which is kind of sad.
But if you drill down and ask the question why,
yeah,
it's leadership.
False.
And we talk about Apple.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a dictatorship. Yeah. But you keep watching Apple. I'm not sure they're going to be quite what they were.
Yeah. Well, I think it's right now I would consider it one of the best companies. And Tesla, too.
Oh,
but,
sure.
But Tesla is a dictatorship. And so I'm wondering, that do they have staying power? Because you can be a flash in a pan. You can have, you know, but I think the best companies that have stood the test of time tend to have the best leaders.
Sure. So. Well, as leaders change, companies change.
Yep.
So.
All right. So, Mike, that's, you know, the kind of the 4 points we wanted to bring out. And if you are any of those, or if you fear you're any of those, we really recommend that you kind of go back in and check your heart. But, Mike, you've got a story that you told me a while ago. We're not going to use any names, but this is an example of heart. So will you share that with us, Mike?
Well, yeah, again, no names. But, you know, as I began to change, you know, I spent time with a lot of different people. And I remember this one fella, you know, was very successful in what he did and was blessed with a, you know, a tremendous income. But he didn't really value people.
That's right.
Know people. I mean, at home or in the office. And anyway, as time moved on, he ended up having a failed marriage. And it was really very hard to see that. And I can remember talking and sharing my situation about what a jerk I was.
Yeah, and you had already had kind of your awakening at that point.
Yep. I was on the mend, which was a 5-year odyssey at least. Anyway, and I watched this person think about what I shared, like I have on some of these podcasts. And he began to evaluate, bright fella, evaluate and change. And as time went on, there was considerable change and there was actually reconciliation and reuniting. And today, you know, back together, things are wonderful, happy. And so again, there's a great example of, if things aren't going so good, evaluate.
Right.
We're all bright people.
Right. And now he was forced to evaluate.
He was.
Because he lost something very, very important to him.
Right.
And thankfully, he was able to get it back.
Well, because of the work he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's rare. I can tell you this. And so what we're telling you is you have the opportunity now to run yourself through these 4 points. And if you're lacking in these points, man, it's a whole lot easier to fix them before you lose something really important to you.
Sure.
Whether it's a marriage.
Well, the question that I would ask anybody is, you know, what's the end going to look like for you? You know, you've heard the expression, evaluate your dash. You know, I was born in 1950, dash. You know, what's evaluate your dash? So what's the end going to look like? And nobody takes any of this with them. The thing that's sweet in my life is thinking about the people I've been able to help. And that's really, at the end of the day, that's the only thing that you can't take anything with you.
Yeah, I think you have the opportunity to really think back on the good you've done and the people that you've helped. And it doesn't happen by accident.
Sure.
I think it's a lot of hard work.
Well, if you want sheer joy, really enjoy in life, you know, it's okay to be happy. And when you get close to achieving what we're talking about here, helping people, personally availing yourself, life gets sweet, really sweet. Yeah. And it's exciting.
Yeah.
And so I think the byproduct of all this hard work and all these words that we're sharing is I've had times in my life where it's been sweet.
Right.
I mean, decades, and you go, wow. So the challenge.
I think that's a great story to kind of like put an end cap on this episode and share it because, you know, again, this is not rocket, you know, science tree. Like, we know this is pretty easy, but again, what I'm always shocked at is it's very easy to figure out whether you're a boss who might struggle with being selfish and not being attuned to his people. But as Mike said in previous episodes, it's a lot of work, but if you do the work, it can be a beautiful thing.
Sure. Well, I'm going to just throw this in, and there's a movie by Henry Winkler, A Christmas Story. It's Scrooge, but it's a more modern version. If you get a chance, it's on, I think, Netflix, or see the movie.
You mean Henry Winkler, The Fonz?
The Fonz. The Fonz.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
This is for older people. They no, know
well, it's worth watching because it talks just to this, and it's a good flick.
That's awesome.
Well, thank you for being with us on this edition of A Server's Journey, and the toolbox is open, and it's, I think, exposing some of us and letting us know where we are and what we can do to change, to become a different person, to be that servant leader that you want to be. Thanks for linking up with us here on A Server's Journey, and remember to subscribe to the podcast. Again, I'd like to suggest if you need help with your website, you can contact ACS Creative because they don't play games with your money. And if you want a copy of the Catching People Doing Things Right pink slip, there's a picture there for you, and you can copy it and use it. So until next time, Rocky, I'm your ever faithful companion, Larry.
And I'm Mike Hodes, and you know what I know.
This is one of my favorite sayings from Mike, and you're going to know a lot more as we progress through the toolbox. But hey, guys, I always want to remind you, thank you for subscribing to us. Thank you for listening to us. We don't come to you very sure of ourselves. We understand that we're hopefully going to be able to lessen and shorten your growth curve because you can learn from some of our mistakes. But we want to thank you for coming along with the journey. And as always, I'm Rocky DeStefano. Thanks for joining us. And remember, are you somebody worth following?